If you do 28 minutes, I will vamp for 2 more minutes.
No.
I have you. What choice? I will pre-vamp right now. I will do 2 minutes right now of pre-vamping.
Okay, go for it. Let's hear it.
About what?
No, whatever you're going to vamp about.
What do you want to hear?
I want to hear your stand-up routine.
Oh. Just
give me a good 2 minutes. The first 2 minutes, if you were going to go on tour and do Al Attrich's stand-up.
I'm not going on tour, but...
Okay.
I actually have some other news for you, maybe.
Oh, all right, let's hear it. Is this part of the act?
No. I do have some jokes, but they're not family friendly.
Okay. Let's hear the best you've got.
No. Trust me. They will get us kicked off the iTunes.
Okay. Has it been 2 minutes yet?
So what, on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 415 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver.
Deck 17 today.
Wow.
So how's your December been? Like right just past the middle, 2 weeks to go till the end of the year.
Been cold.
Right. We just finished up the... the Christmas market here in Tübingen, it was a good time.
Okay.
I'm assuming. I hope nothing bad happened. Because we're recording ahead of time.
Oh, I see. That's where you're leading. I was trying to fake it like it's been already 2 weeks.
We could fake it. We could totally fake it. No, because there's no way that you had 2 straight weeks of sub-zero temperatures in Vancouver. It doesn't work out like that.
Okay. Maybe it's warm now.
You know how it gets? Is there snow on the North Shore Mountains yet?
I believe so.
Because when I was there two and a half, just for sake of argument, there was uncharacteristically no snow, like not a flake of snow. Don Komarechka would have nothing to photograph.
That's tragic. I think that up in the interior of BC, there's snow because I keep hearing about the Coquihalla Highway.
We call it the Coke, right?
Yeah, but all the snow up there, I believe, is real. So
okay,
not sure about the North Shore Mountains. Haven't. I think there is snow though. From my last,
they must be hurting though, because normally in around November it starts to snow, and there's snow up there, and blah blah blah. But when I was there, the Grouse Grind was still open, which is that never happens. I didn't do it. I didn't have time to do it. I wanted to, did not have time. However, so, you know, what are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
But so right now you're in the minus. Minus five or something, you said?
Three.
Minus three. That's enough. Like, what's the difference? Minus three, minus five. You don't, it's not affecting you.
Sure. They're both cold.
What? Yeah. So what's that? That's not good, is it?
No.
It's okay if you get snow and you can go sledding in Queenie Park or something like that. All right. How was the Nutcracker?
Amazing. Everything I dreamed it would be. No, I don't know.
Who wrote the Nutcracker? Do you know?
No.
Seriously?
I don't know.
Your daughter's in it.
Yeah, so?
Okay.
I'm just a supportive parent. I don't need to know the history of it.
Stephen King wrote it.
Oh, that's what I thought. I would have guessed Stephen King.
That's not true. Actually, now that I'm shooting my mouth off, I'm not 100% sure that I know.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's Tchaikovsky, though.
Yeah, if I was to guess, I would say that's one of the three composers I know. So,
can you name three composers?
I can name Mozart, Bach, Tchaikovsky.
Oh man, Beethoven.
Beethoven, yeah, that's it. It's got to be one of those four. Yeah, it's got to be one of those four.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I can name another one. Oh, Hans Zimmer.
Okay.
He's my favorite, man. You laugh. I listen to him all the time.
Sure.
I'm not joking. You go to the gym, don't you?
Yes.
You still go to the gym? Okay, what do you listen to at the gym? You have your little Bluetooth things. Didn't you wash them, though?
Yeah, the transmitter. I broke the transmitter because I put it in the washing machine.
Right. So you go to the gym, you do the treadmill,
I usually
right?
just I usually just watch SportsCenter. That's what I do.
That's terrible. You need some inspiration, man.
Okay.
And what I'm going to get you to do, I'm going to send you a playlist of songs that I listen to when I go running.
Okay.
A lot of Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yes.
No, they, no, I listen to tons of Hans Zimmer, tons of, who else? Bill Conti. You know Bill Conti?
No.
You know, well, I don't listen to Rocky, but he did Rocky.
Okay.
He also did the theme, the music to the score for The Right Stuff, which I listen to a lot of.
Okay.
But Hans Zimmer did The Rock. What else do I listen to that he did? He didn't do Rudy, but I listened to Rudy. That's good stuff. This is a good podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm on pins and needles here.
This should be our Christmas episode where we just talk about all the scores that Alan listens to.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, big fan. Big fan of the German composers. Amazon, you want to go and buy some of that stuff. You need new headphones. You need a new Bluetooth transmitter, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it up on Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out.
Sure.
All right. What's going on, Adam, besides all the cold?
That's it. Just the season of having things to do all the time. This is the time of year where you just feel like you've got a list of things and it's never ending. You cross three off and four more pop up. That's where we're at. That's always seems to be December, though. That there's a lot of things to do in December.
That's why I always find the week between Christmas and New Year's to be this weird sort of, but not necessarily in a good way, because you're not prepared for relaxation, right? Or are you? Are you? Do you prepare? Are you ready for it?
Sure. No, I don't know. I'm not a relaxed kind of person ever. Even when I have relaxed time, I find myself doing stuff. I like to be busy.
Serenity now.
Yeah, I like to do stuff.
Right. Okay, so here on deck 17, do you have your Christmas list all completed?
I didn't really have anything on my Christmas list other than
I meant you buying people.
I'm going to hope it's done by December 17th. I'll put it that way.
What kind of stuff are you looking at getting?
Oh, the only thing I asked for was one of those.
Not cheap... you. God, get over yourself.
Sorry. But can I just say the only thing I asked for was one of those cheap action cameras. That was my one ask.
What do you mean? Like the Faux Pro?
Yeah. One of the knockoffs that we could take tobogganing this year. And
okay,
Any family vacation stuff.
They're like $26 now.
Yeah, so I said that was the only thing I asked for. So I imagine because it's relatively inexpensive, my wife will come through for me. Plus, I'll literally put it in the Amazon basket and just say, hey, how about you just take care of that?
You go ahead and click through.
But as far as getting for other people, my kids don't have a really specific ask this year. So I don't know. Either they're going to get some money or they'll get some gift cards or something. I don't know, a couple of little things. Mm-hmm. But nothing, there isn't that thing. Usually in the past, there's been that thing and that really doesn't exist this year for either of my kids.
Really?
Yeah, really doesn't. So what about you?
No, I haven't done as of now. Well, December 17th, I hope I've bought everything. But my son has a birthday in December. So that always kind of becomes the first focal point. And then after that happens, then I'm like, okay, now I can think about Christmas. Don't know what's going to end up happening. I'll get, Oma and Opa, they're going to get the calendar that I made at the aforementioned Vistaprint we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
Which again, next year better be a sponsor or nothing will change. Actually, I'll keep shopping at Vistaprint.
Right.
Cause they're that good. What are my kids? I'm not sure what my kids are going to get. I honestly don't know. I mean, my son wants a remote control car. He'll get that for his birthday.
Okay.
You know what? One thing I do want to get, I'm not 100% sure if he's old enough for it, because he's five. He's five now. He just turned five. And he really loves rockets, like model rockets, etc.
Sure.
So I'm pretty sure he would love getting one of those make-it-yourself model rocket sets that actually fires up into the sky and then parachutes down.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if five is too young. Obviously, he won't be handling all the gunpowder himself or whatever happens.
Yeah.
But I think that's something that he's going to go for. So I think he might get one of those. We'll see. We'll see what happens, if it's this year or not.
Cool.
He still can't decide who the better astronaut, his favorite astronaut, is. Is it Chris Hadfield or is it Alexander Gerst? He doesn't know.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, Sally Ride, come on. Equal rights here.
Hey, I have a photo related
Finally.
Sort of complaint from the last week. I didn't bring it up on the last episode because we were super content heavy last episode, but this I think is a good spot to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how in the past I've had my trials and tribulations with printing. I'm sure everybody out there can relate. As far as you do your color corrections and whatnot, exposure and all of that to the way you dial it in the way you want, and that's where we spend all our time editing. And then you go and get it printed, and it just sucks so bad. It's nowhere close to what you wanted. Mm-hmm. Well, I had that experience recently at Costco. So I was making cards, like hockey cards for the kids. And so I did my move where, you print a hockey card or a baseball card is 2.5 by 3.5. So I make it, I format it exactly 2.5 by 3.5. And then I put four cards on a 5x7. Mm-hmm. And what I do, my move now is I basically just kind of clone the edges of the card and I add another, maybe 2 millimeters around the edges of the card when they go to print it, like they don't, cut it so much that mm-hmm. I can't get four cards out of it. So I'm kind of compensating for their incompetence.
Their idiocy.
Yeah. So anyway, so I did this. I had this experience just this past week and I have 16 kids on the hockey team. So I did everybody, 1 5x7 so that I'd be able to have four cards. And I thought if they really screwed up, I'll be able to have two cards. And right. Got the cards back and they were way underexposed for one. Oh, so they're way too dark. So their faces were basically super dark that you wouldn't be able to discern unless you had a bright light underneath it, which kid it was. And then on top of that, the 5x7 crop job that Costco did was horrible to the point where they cropped it off so much on one side that it cut right through the logo, which was probably a good 5 millimeters from the side of the image. And that was after I allowed for extra room. So, I got the photos back and I said to the person working there, I'm like, I can't even use these. Like, it's been cropped so badly. And then, we pulled up the file on the computer and, she looked at it and she said, oh yeah, like it should not get cropped. It's formatted exactly as a 5x7. And I said, that's what I'm saying. And then, so she-
You understand, sweetie, I have my own photo show.
But anyway, so she, was very nice and said, okay, well, I'm going to go upstairs. And I said, also, it's way too dark. So the auto calibration is really not working here. So we need it to be brighter. And so she did me a favor and she said, okay, I'm going to go upstairs. This was in the evening, maybe an hour before Costco closed, but she went up and did a reprint. So I waited downstairs, maybe 20 minutes. My wife and kids were shopping at Costco. It was not a big deal. She comes back down with the photos, the reprint. I have the first print in my hand. We pull it out. It is identical.
In terms of QC, the repeatability is excellent.
The repeatability is excellent. The funny thing was, she's like, wow, well, I increased the brightness. So somewhere the computer, whatever, said, no, you don't. I'm bringing it back down to here again, right? And on top of it, she told me that again, when she looks at it on the computer and everything, it's like nothing is going to get cropped, but then it's doing some weird enlargement where it's bringing it further over. So I got another set of reprints back that were completely useless to me. And then I couldn't wait any longer. So she said, well, I'll have someone else do it tomorrow and we'll do it a third time. And then what I turned around and did is I went home, went on my computer, and then just sent it off to London Drugs. And then I thought, let's see if they do a better job. I've complained a number of times about how poor London Drugs has been in the past with this stuff. And then London Drugs version, perfect. Like there was nothing cropped. In fact, my 2 millimeters of bleed room showed up in all of the images. So there was, again, a little extra room to work with. And the exposures were perfectly fine. So
All right.
Just so bizarre, and an ongoing issue as far as getting prints done is you just never know what you're going to get. And you sometimes Costco gets it great. Costco's cost is so inexpensive that it's almost worth the gamble. In that it's a third of the cost. Like doing a 5x7 is one third of the cost. In some cases, if you order it online, it's actually probably more like one fifth of the cost. I think a Costco 5x7 is 39 cents when you order it online, and it's $1.50 when you go to London Drug. So it's a crazy difference that it is worth the gamble, because I'm going to say 75% of the time, the Costco version is just fine. And then sometimes you pay the $1.50 at London Drugs, and it's terrible too. So it's this ongoing issue. And I always find that it's now my biggest concern is when I'm finally ready to print something, you know, where do I get it printed? And am I going to have to now spend two or three extra times to do it?
But you also find that if you, for one tenth the cost, you can just have a stranger kick you in the nuts.
Yeah. I should do that. They have someone that does that in Vegas.
Are you kidding?
Well, you can either kick them or they can kick you, either way. But
I guess which way I'm going.
Yeah, it's pay $50 and it might only be $20, and then you can just hoof the guy in the nuts if you want.
What? Yeah. Now that you say it, now you joke about it. Like obviously, if I had a choice in that, I'm going with neither.
Yeah. No, I don't know how much money he makes, because that's kind of a horrible proposition. Like, I'm going to pay you money, but then I'm going to kick you in the nuts? How am I going to look in the mirror at the end of the day?
Who goes the other way? Who chooses? No, I'll get the Rochambeau, man. Come on. Obviously, I'm giving you the 20.
Right.
And you're going to kick me in the nuts. Now, see, London Drugs, they blew your whole profit margin. For $1.50, you can go get kicked in the nuts.
Right.
All right. Good nut talk.
Okay.
But it all got sorted out now. But now the kicker is you don't know what to do next.
No. And I printed, I don't know if I brought this up in the past, but remember I was talking about that big composition that I did, the sort of group photo for my team's hockey party. So I did this, and I did it at, I sent it to Costco because, again, so inexpensive to print a, whatever it is, 18x24, and then I layer it twice, and then you get, I guess it's 12x18, and then you get two 6x18 panoramic shots out of it. So it's a great deal. It ends up being about $3 a kid for this great print that's 6x18, but it's always a guessing game as to where their exposure is going to fall. Right. So you kind of, I did a test print of one and then got it back, made some corrections in terms of the exposure a little bit, thinking that, all right, I'll beat the system. Second print, even though the images look very different.
Meanwhile, they're across the street from your house watching you with binoculars going, all right, oh, he's adjusting, is he?
Yeah.
We got it. We got this.
The photos are, there is no way anybody could discern a difference between print one and print two.
Of course. There's some voodoo going on.
I know. And then I thought, well, then do I go and take off their auto correct stuff? But no, because then it's like you never know about the color or anything. Yeah. So it is a giant gamble, and that's part of why maybe you just get this stuff professionally printed for 10 times the cost.
That is. And also the kick you in the nuts.
Yeah. And then what my wife reminds me of, and again, I am way too detail oriented when it comes to this stuff compared to.
No, you're not.
Compared to.
No, they're far relative. They're far too less detail oriented.
Everybody will be very happy with the print. It's only me who knows that I'd like a little bit more detail and not. You have to let some of these things go. If you're going to get it printed at Costco, you have to let some of these things go.
I guess some of it. I mean, have you ever gone to a professional, like a photo printing place, and had a 65-cent hot dog? You have not. Costco, you're dialed in. And they don't even limit the amount of mustard you can put on that hot dog. Right. Like, you can walk out of there with hands full of mustard if you want.
Right. Yeah.
So who's the real winner now?
I don't know.
Not your self-esteem, that's for sure. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, I think I just unloaded all my interesting.
I shot, so my daughter has a new hobby. She's decided she wants to do trick horseback riding.
Okay. Now we're in business.
Oh my, Could you find, you don't want to race jet fighters like that? This is how much money you want to spend is on the horses.
Right.
But so for now it's not so bad, but it's going to get expensive. But she likes, so we go to the stables every Saturday, and they do tricks on the horses, all kinds of tricks. And here's one of them. I just posted one random one. So I go photograph this obviously, cause my daughter likes it when I do that. The 5D Mark III, 70-200, just using available light, because when your daughter's doing a handstand on a friggin' horse, can we say friggin'? I'm not sure.
Yeah, pretty sure friggin's good.
Yeah, when she's doing a handstand on a horse, you don't want to just huck a flash right in the horse's face.
No, that would be probably ill-advised. Who came up with this as a thing?
With the trick riding?
Yeah.
Yakima Canute.
Okay. All right, that's who I thought. That's what I would have.
Yeah, no, we all knew that. I know. You're asking for a friend. You knew the answer, but it's that's who it was. I don't know. And there's a bunch of kids who do it.
Hey, wait a second. Is this where the name pommel horse came from?
It might be. It probably does. It's probably a German thing. Well, no, because the funny thing is we have a couple of chairs in our living room that are sort of the lounge chair types, like they're rounded back, like, and they go all the way to the floor. And so now every day my daughter tips them over in front of on the carpet, and it rides it like a horse. And so she does all her tricks on this tipped over chair now, like a pommel horse. Like it's actually like a pommel horse.
Yeah. They invented the pommel horse to practice for the real horse.
I'm assuming that. So anyway, so this is me now, paying for my daughter to ride horses. Like that'll end up being fun. All of a sudden I got to buy her a horse soon. So
yeah, she's getting a pony for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Good news is the cost of the podcast is going up to it's $40 a week now. Sorry guys, unforeseen expenses, podcast related. If you want to hear more horse talk, so there's that. And then for my son's birthday party last week, there I obviously do an invitation. I shoot a photo for the invitation, and so I shot this. He wanted to have a soccer themed party, foosball party. And so I went and shot this down in the studio and made sure to leave enough white space on the top, or gray space in this case, so I could add font to write down that here's the Einladung, please come to my party. And when you don't, I'll just sit and cry because I have no friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I left that part out.
Hey, you know who doesn't leave room for font in their magazine covers that they shoot professionally?
Who's that?
Whatever the company is that does the photos for our hockey association. Wow. You can buy magazine covers. And my wife showed me one of the ones that someone on our team bought for their kid. And it is the busiest background with stuff everywhere. It is awful. Awful.
Really?
And they are selling it. So good on you for leaving room and not busying up the background.
No. You want to go simple.
Yeah.
And, you know what? Maybe we'll do a show on shooting a magazine, which I think we've talked about.
We've had a challenge. We've done it as a challenge. We had a challenge
like 8 years ago. Yeah, you're right. But we'll do a show about it because, I mean, I do it every week during baseball season. I shoot a magazine cover for our team, for our game days. And whenever I shoot, I am wildly aware of making room for font and where font will go and whatnot. Like, it's all a very... It's a very important consideration before you start shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the case. And so anyway, so this is my son, mostly backlit and a little couple lights up front. It's a four light setup, the white background that went gray, pretty simple stuff, but he's very excited to be five.
Okay.
All right. Photo challenge. This week was morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's you go first again. You like to go first. I like seeing your first. So there you go.
Sure. This is this morning, right before we went to school. It has been cold, and therefore there is morning scraping to be done. Who would have thunk it that my kids would be fighting over who gets to scrape the car?
No, they're idiots.
Yeah, they are, and they'll fight over anything. So this is just one more thing to fight about.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. So this is my daughter's turn. She's doing the front windshield.
She is laser beaming your son then. Is that what she's doing?
No. Okay. There are photos where she is that, and there are some horrible smirks on her face as she watches him have her turn. She's very judgy about his scraping.
How's his scraping?
Yeah, his scraping is fine, but she's really good on giving feedback as to what he's doing improperly. So that's that really is conveyed in the photo. I didn't have time to sort through them. I should have actually posted one of those. Reason I posted this photo is this is taken with my wide angle, and I have been reading through Chris Marquardt's book, and I'm kind of right in a section where, you know, they're talking about using a wide angle for shooting people. And so I thought I'd kind of experiment in with two birds with one stone. This is a morning photo with a wide angle, and you got to get really, really up close and personal with somebody to take a photo where, you know, they're really obviously, you know, large in the frame with a wide angle. So I don't know what the angle is on this. Maybe you can tell me. I'm not looking at the settings or the...
No, I think you pulled the EXIF.
Oh, I didn't mean to, but I'm going to say this is probably around 22 millimeters, something like that.
Right.
Anyways, it offers a totally different perspective when you get this close to your subject. And in the book, they're talking about, you know, you convey a different sort of, feeling in an image when you use a wide angle and you get up super close to somebody. And I mean, this might not be the best example because she's just...
This is a good example.
She's just scraping the thing and she's giving me attitude, which you could probably feel from a telephoto as well. But you got to be right up in their space. Like I'm maybe a foot from my daughter's face when I'm taking this photo, maybe a foot and a half. Like I'm the distance of the actual scraper here.
Oh, no. So you're on top of the scraper.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, no, this is really good. Like this photo shouldn't be this good. And I think it's 100% her attitude, actually.
Oh, her attitude. This was the least attitude-ish of all photos. Yeah.
She's just completely laser beaming you.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She's just daring you to critique her scraping. Yeah. And I love this. I love what's happening here. She was like, seriously, I'm in the nutcracker and I'm scraping your window. What's going on here, Dad?
Yeah. Oh, I should post a series of the rest of the ones because I filtered for the least attitude of all photos. So, yeah.
Always go with most attitude. That should be the topic this week.
Yeah. Especially when Jack's scraping and I have her in the frame just the most judgy face you could imagine. Yeah.
Oh, I love it, man. No, I love it. It's good. It's a good shot.
And morning light, like it's obviously relatively dark where we are, but if I shoot this photo the other way, because she's lit by the morning sun. If I shoot this the other way, it's a very different photo and mood because of it's so heavily backlit, right?
Yeah.
So this is I shot a couple when they're on the other side and I was like, oh, those are awful. Like there's just nothing there. But when you shoot with your back to the light in this situation, it's a relatively nice time of day to take a photo. It's very cool. Like this is warmed up to like 63 or 6400 Kelvin. Like this is blue time. Like it is very blue.
Why'd you warm it up, man? Leave it blue.
I thought about it, but it was so blue that it looks like she's been in a freezer for about a decade. So I thought,
her look does say that though.
And I thought I'd warm it up enough that it's just blue everywhere, but maybe her skin tone. So it is still very blue, even though I warmed it up so much.
It is.
Yeah.
No, I like it. I like the fact you shot it with the wide angle lens too. I'm going to shoot a little bit more of that now.
I agree. And when, you know, you look at the photos, some of the photos in Marquardt's book, it just really does make you want to use wide angle more. So this is, again, way out of my comfort zone, shooting people with wide angles up close like this. I'm definitely going to do more of it.
Awesome.
All right.
So here's mine. We had the other day when the challenge was issued, of course, we're a little bit recording ahead. It was Nikolaus Tag, which means Nikolaus comes to the house and the kids shine their boots up on the night of December the 5th, put them outside and over the night. And then December 6th in the morning, you get up, come down and your boots are filled with chocolate and oranges and Roots pajamas. And it was very specific to our kids, actually, with the Roots pajamas part.
Okay.
That's not the German tradition. That's my kids' German tradition. They get Roots pajamas every year.
Oh, ding.
Yeah, that was you sent that. I just got your text. Well, you could have just said, hey, 12 minutes. I get it.
Well, I'm sending it to you now, 12 minutes.
Yeah. No, I understand. Okay. I know you have a hard out.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this was our annual Nikolaustag photo, which means the kids come out in the morning. And this is, I swear to you, this is a snapshot.
Okay.
A very well-lit snapshot.
Okay.
I pre-light this. I light this the night before because I know Nikolaus is coming.
You've pre-lit this every year that I can remember.
And I have changed the lighting every year.
Okay.
So this is a little bit different setup. Normally I'll do a one, maybe a two light setup. And I'll change where the light's motivated. This is highly motivated light.
Highly.
And so normally, mediumly motivated light.
Okay.
Somewhat. It can see motivated light from here. And so, in the past, I've lit it from the other side, and that way you see more of the boots. But in this case, I just said, you know what? I'm going to do the key light's going to be coming from the window, camera right, which is a big soft box, right out of frame with the full CTO on it. And that's going to be the main light coming on them, which is cool because it's going to get flagged by the window. So it's not going to light the boots. It's going to light them and they kind of fall off. Then I kind of want to fill it in, though. I don't want it super high contrast. So camera left, I have a light with a snoot on it that's just bare, so essentially registering as blue in this case, firing up into the eaves, which then bounces down and just kind of adds a little flick of fill light to just give some detail to the boots.
Okay.
Normally, I'd make you guess this, but you said, hey, 12 minutes, let's go. Mm-hmm. So anyways, was it 12 minutes? It was 12 minutes.
12 minutes. Now so, we're down to 8.
8 minutes. So in behind, I have a flash. Again, also bare, just firing in, lighting up the floor, giving you that shadow in the background.
I like that light. That light I like. I like this photo. I wish that your son's face had been exposed, and that's it. I mean, your daughter's perfect.
I wish he looked up. He was kind of looking down, but what I do like about it, and then I did snap away. I snapped a bunch, and again, I did light this the night before, and then basically stood outside, you know, barefoot in the wet grass as they came outside and fired away as they popped out. I snapped a bunch of them, but the one thing I liked about this was his hand on her leg. Was her, because that was him coming around. Like she'd come out first, and he couldn't wait to come out and get around and see what sort of bounty was waiting for him.
He was blocking her. He was boxing out.
She was blocking him, and so he kind of moved in the paint, and so this is my annual thing. I looked back at the previous seven, and I was like, I'm gonna get a little teary eyed, man. Like, holy cow! But so that's what this is. Like again, pre-lighting it. Kind of get you there. Maybe we should spend some more time on this. We don't have any more time. Let's go.
Okay.
All right. So it's funny that you shot what you shot because, what most people actually know by now is that we do not prep this show. We don't talk ahead of time. In fact, I barely like you. So the fact that you shot a wide shot plays into what I already figured out we're going to talk about this week, which is the difference between shooting wide versus shooting tight. Okay, so my estimation, and correct me if I'm wrong. You tell me. You tell me if I'm talking out the wrong side of my mouth here. When you start out, when you're brand new, like not even like paying attention to shooting, you're just snapping away on your phone or your point and shoot or whatever it is. You tend to shoot way too wide.
Yeah, I think
true
that's,
or false.
I think that's true.
And your pictures suck. Like, they're really terrible. And so maybe you think, all right, well, I'm going to listen to a podcast or read a book or something. And the first thing they teach you is, man, hey, how about you fill the frame? Fill the frame with your subject. And that way you get rid of everything. So you zoom in a little bit. And now you're shooting in tight. And all of a sudden, you find out that your pictures get way better. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you do this for a long time, and then you listen to Adam and I, and you buy yourself an 85mm f1.8, and you live there. And all your pictures come up like magazine covers, and you think, wow, like, life is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to see some images online where people are shooting wide again Like, people are shooting wide, but this time you can tell. You can tell because you know, like, you've kind of developed this sort of eye for photography, and they're shooting wide. They're getting context, but with purpose. Not the same kind of crappy wide photos you were snapping with your point and shoot. Right. They're doing it with purpose now.
And I can think of that example of the photo that was in our photo challenge a few weeks back with the model with the old car.
Right.
That photo, that was a wide angle portrait that was fantastic.
And not accidental.
No.
It wasn't like, oh yeah, I got my Sony or my Nikon 3100 point and shoot out and whoops, there you go. No, that was very specific.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing I look at and think, oh man, I got to do more of that. Like, and so I in the last, I'd say probably year and a half, maybe more, I've been really trying hard to do that. Even before, so I've had the X100 for a year, a little over a year, about 2 weeks more than a year. And that forces you to shoot wide because of it's 35 mil lens, essentially equivalent. And now you have to think about all your background, et cetera, et cetera. And your subject's place in that context. And that's what I like. I do love shooting in tight still. I'm not going to stop doing it. But I'm going to focus on showing context. Like, the world we live in is so wildly important that let's focus on how to shoot that with purpose. What are some things to consider? Don't worry, I wrote some down. If you can't think of a single thing to consider when we're shooting wide with purpose. Because first of all, isolating your subject is inherently more difficult when you're shooting wide.
Mm-hmm.
Depth of field is very, very deep, so you can't separate your subject that way. You're shooting much more, so in theory, your subject occupies a smaller percentage of the frame, and so the challenge is there. So what are a few things? I wrote down four different ways four different things to consider when shooting wide with purpose.
Okay, give me the first one. I unfortunately just read through a chapter on this in Chris Marquardt's book, and so I'll see if you have anything different than what he's got in the book.
I did not read that book yet. So my first thing I think about whenever I shoot wide, even though it's weird because I just said the environment, so you want to shoot the environment, but I look for negative space or white space, they call it either or. I look for a lot of blank, which then thereby focuses your subject. That's the first thing I look for in a wide shot. Was that the first thing Chris looks for?
No, not exactly, but he does talk. I mean, it depends on what you're like, the way you framed it is a little different, but he usually first thinks about composition, but he also talks about, there's a large portion of it dedicated to talking about, you know, creating depth in a photo and, you know, how in a wide angle photo, like you said, how do you separate your subject from the background? And so depending on how we're talking about that and separating your subject from the background, he often, he mentions, you know, basically like color as a big one. So, you know, if there's a light background, then, and you have a dark subject, then you'd probably want to frame it in a way that keeps the dark in front of the light or vice versa, right? So that you can separate.
So in that respect, I wrote down one of the points I made was contrast.
Right. Yeah.
Both in light, like light and dark, but also in colors/saturation of colors. So if it's different colors, you want to play that. Maybe you have your subject as yellow on a blue background or something like that, or maybe your subject is more saturated with a desaturated background, something like that.
Right.
That allows you to separate. That's really hard to do, man. Okay. So, I mean, again, just because my favorite happens to be negative space.
Okay.
You said composition, and that one is wildly important. Like, I don't know what he wrote about composition in there, but all of a sudden, the rule of thirds, which we've always talked about is really the suggestion of thirds, but in your head, in your mind, your psychology, it is the rule, becomes wildly important and a massive shift. Because all of a sudden, where you decide to put your subject changes rapidly, but you still have to pay attention to that rule of thirds.
Right.
So how, what does he talk about composition?
Talks a lot about, you know, considering, you know, foreground, middle ground, background, like all, you know, wide angle photographers seem to sort of have that as a mantra, you know, making sure that there is a distinct foreground, middle ground, background. And he shows examples of it, and it certainly does really make the photos better, but, you know, also shows breaking those rules, like, you know, flipping it on its head. Like we often think of the foreground has to be kind of the thing closest to the camera, right? And and shows examples of reflections that are kind of flipped on themselves, and just, you know, again, you can, there are ways around following the rules exactly, but usually considering lines, okay, because so the lines can help separate in wide angle leading photography lines. and just again the where you're going to position those lines in a frame, because we know how things with a wide angle get distorted as they get more towards the edges of the frame. So okay, where are you going to position those lines, and are they going to somehow help lead your image along? Like he talks a bit about, I don't know what the phrasing he uses, but again, having a point that sort of directs the viewer's eyes towards something, right? You can kind of guide the viewer, and you can't just blow out the background the way you can to lead a viewer's eye in a portrait with a telephoto lens. So you have to use elements of the frame, and the foreground is often a good one to help lead your viewer's eye in the direction of your subject.
And lastly, I mean, just to wrap this up, I mean, we're kind of giving a short shrift to this, but when it comes to the rule of thirds specifically, and using leading lines as well, but when I use a rule of thirds and I'm in tight, I'm often putting the subject eyes in the top third. Whether it's left or right doesn't matter, but it's usually in the top third. When I'm doing super wide photography, which you know is very challenging, I'll put the subject in the lower third and show a lot of the sky, just to try to kind of show the openness that we live in. That's generally how I approach the shot, is where I want them to be in the lower, which you never ever do in a portrait. Do that in a portrait and see what happens.
Right.
It's like 1% of the time it looks awesome, and the rest looks like you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
So much like I say, like when you first get your camera, you shoot in AV mode because you don't know what you're doing, and then you get really good, you start shooting in manual, and then when you get really, really good, you can go back to AV and get amazing results. That's how I feel about wide, going in tight, coming back to wide. And the fact that you now have the 17 to 40 that you're shooting with, I'm impressed that you shot with it this week, and I'm going to shoot more of it like that just because I really want to see the environment that everyone lives in.
Yeah, and it does, again, if you're someone who's used to shooting with the telephoto or a prime that's, you know, 85 or 100 or whatever, it is a completely different experience. And obviously it's a huge learning curve, which I haven't even kind of, you know, basically made much ground yet, but I'm hoping I will with more reps. But it is one of those things that it just makes you think about everything in your photo a lot more when you go to a wide angle. There's just so many more variables to consider.
And you get disappointed early on.
Yeah, like, that's what I find. Absolutely. Yeah.
I was like shooting a lot with the Fuji X100. I was like, at first, I was like, really? I spent all that money on this? My pictures suck. And then it's, you know, you have to overcome that. And then all of a sudden, then I was like, wow, this is my favorite camera ever. Like, it really is. I love this thing, but it was user error that I had to get over. And now, like, it's made me better. Even as a telephoto photographer, it's made me better. So I highly recommend it. All right, photo challenge for, well, not next week. Next week is the Christmas episode, which we're going to go ahead and warn you right now. If you like photo stuff, do not listen next week. We're daring you. Don't listen.
Okay.
We're going to be funny as all get out. And we're going to talk about some fun stuff, which I have no idea what that even means yet. But we will not talk photo stuff. So again, we're daring you to not listen.
Okay.
Of course, it will come out on New Year's Eve, on Christmas Eve. So you'll probably have other stuff to do. Maybe while you go last minute Christmas shopping, you can listen to us talk about nothing.
Okay.
That's my suggestion. But in 2 weeks, on New Year's Eve, the photo challenge will be context, which means specifically a wide shot with a subject. Not just wide, like a landscape or something like that. You're going to shoot a wide shot with a subject and basically shoot somebody or something in their context. If you don't know what I mean, you probably didn't listen to what we just talked about for 10 minutes.
Okay.
All right, monthly photo challenge for December is Christmas cards or holiday cards, et cetera, et cetera. Hashtag that to Hosra's monthly challenge or hashtag Hey Hosra's on Instagram, and we will check that out. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.